Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy extended to us at this hour, knowing that already 40 years will soon have gone by, that the prophet said America had its last chance, it was doomed, and he did not even bother praying for it because there was no use praying against what was the revealed will of Almighty God. And we stand here also this morning knowing what has been revealed that you are against. May we be against also and take our position with you 100% that in this hour we might not be found wanting, O Lord, but waiting with you for the fulfillment of the promises of this day, which we know, since the shout is all but fulfilled as to its complete revelation and its effect upon the people, there will be then a resurrection, there will be immortality granted to those standing here, there will be a calling together, and there will be an ascension into the heavens where there will be the great wedding supper, but above all the incarnation of that Spirit that's in our midst, when we call you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the great thing we're waiting for, Lord, the unveiling of that tremendous last mystery when these things are revealed to us as never before. Help us in the study of your word, Lord, that we might not be remiss in any way, but also, Lord, we have faith that the word will correct any error that we're making, that we might not make errors, but, Lord, we may rather believe the solemn truth, even in those things we cannot understand, but believe them, waiting, Lord, if you should give us light according to your will. We ask only that you help us in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're over here on, I guess, number 15, and the spoken word is original seed. And again, we are saying we hope that we can get moving a little faster each time in order to cover more of the territory we're into. Now, in last Sunday's message, which was number 14, we looked into the meaning of how Eve was a hybrid, and we are also called the same. Brother Branham said Eve was a hybrid, and we are also hybrids. It went even so far as to put a mark upon Adam, who was our progenitor, and who carried the life in his bloodstream. So Brother Branham actually then called Eve a hybrid and said, now we're all born illegitimate hybrids also. This took us into what we hope is a correct understanding of sin entering and death by sin, which ends in the terribly destructive ravages of AIDS and social diseases. And we believe that we described it to be so according to the scripture. And in there I went into detail concerning how it is that all life, there's energy and gives off energy, and it can be measured, just like radium and other things. There is something then about the fact of the wrong act, which was sexual intercourse with the beast and then with Adam taking Eve, that started this great interruption and is bringing today a terrible condition upon all mankind. Now, I'm going to read to you from what I consider one of the best read men, a man that's right down there in the right Atlanta, near the disease control center. And he said, 5 years ago when Dr. Robert Strecker and I were saying the AIDS virus was a laboratory engineered agent specifically designed to do exactly what it has done, kill by destroying the immune system, we were attacked by the left, right, and center of the political spectrum. By the right, we're called communist dupes, and by the government irresponsible fearmongers who shouldn't be allowed to say such things. That was said by Dr. Everett Koop, former Surgeon General. When I wrote Who Murdered Africa 5 years ago, I emphasized the role of the United Nations in calling in scientists to manufacture the virus and reported how AIDS had been introduced into Africa through contaminated smallpox vaccine. Somehow I missed the very damaging evidence that the U.S. Congress, certainly without knowing what it was doing, which is not unusual, contributed $10 million to the development of the AIDS virus. Now, this man is giving you a complete speculation of what he believes to be actually the fact that's come right down from the first step of immunizing people by injecting virus that is not completely active, but is active enough to start up the white cells forming a defense and immunizing the body. So he's taking from that attitude, and we know it's true, that immunization can be a very dangerous thing. But you will find that Brother Branham did not speak against it. So therefore, we must be very careful not to go overboard with what is science, so-called. And so therefore, if we would have to obey the law, which I'm very much against children being inoculated, because I saw what it did to my sister. She must have got a false batch. From that time on, she was never well. And we've seen it in people. We also know there's such thing as retroviruses and those things that mutate that cause greater problems. We also know that after a certain number of years, plagues can come back and be worse than ever because the body cannot deal with them. And we can put it right down and say, look, we've interfered with nature, whereas we should have been living correctly, our bodies would adjust. And that's true, because remember, Hippocrates said, let your food be your medicine be your food. And it's also said by many people, Edison, I believe, was one, and different people of repute, that there would come a day when people would realize that all they needed was correct food. But what are you going to do? And Brother Branham said, there's no minerals and things left in the soil, so the food is no good. And if it turns your body to mush, what about your brain? Well, we certainly have mush brain scientists and so-called today who know nothing at all about the Scripture, though they claim they believe in God. All right, we're looking at this man. I've got nothing against him. I read his material because he's very good. Now, in requesting the funds for the development of the virus, Dr. MacArthur of the Army Advanced Research Project Agency testified before the Defense Subcommittee of the House. Eminent biologists believe that within a period of 5 to 10 years, it would be possible to produce a synthetic biological agent. Now, you get the word bios, meaning life, so this thing is alive. An agent that does not naturally exist and for which no natural immunity could have been acquired. See what he says here? It is possible, he added, to make a new ineffective microorganism that would be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious diseases. So now they're tampering and trying to come to a place where, hey, we got this thing, lick hands down. Nobody's going to die or get sick or something. I don't know. MacArthur said it would take 10 years to develop the virus. That testimony was given in 1967. Add 10 years equals 1979. There is a 2-year incubation period between infection and actual discernible AIDS disease. That brings us to 1981 when AIDS was first diagnosed in the States. But I'm going to tell you something. Before it was diagnosed, they had a case and cases many years before it. So the man's not 100% honest. See? He's like Rush Limbaugh. Good, but not that good. When it is perfectly obvious from the genetics of the organism and all the scientific literature related to the HIV virus that it was man-made, how can you account for the bodacious lies of virologists like Robert Gallo of the National Institute of Health and Max Essex of Harvard telling us, the American people, that AIDS came from a monkey bite in the African jungle? Well, 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 that's good enough for the chickens. But there's no answer to the eagles. Let's understand where this came from. I have my Bible. And I will go to my Bible. Because I'm not interested in the scientist or what he has to say, except in a very relative manner. So, of course, you all know I'm going to Romans chapter 1. If you don't, you know now. So let's take a look at it. Beginning at verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. Now, what he's telling you here, this whole thing starts between the truly righteous and the truly unrighteous. It starts back with a spiritual premise that goes from back to God, that if you violate it, you are going to bear the consequences of that violation. And as sure as the word of God is immutable, so are the consequences immutable. So if in one place there is a positive promise of blessing, there will also be a positive promise of cursing. Because you cannot deny the two vines, and the two vines start in two words. And the two words started way back when Satan said, I'll exalt myself above the Most High, I will be God. And God said, not a chance. But he turned him loose. Now, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. Now, what does it mean by that? The next verse tells you, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. When man stands there, in contradistinction to everything else that is here, he knows that he stands almost like God above it all. He knows there has to have been and is a creator. And he said, who needs it? Now, he didn't get that far to atheism overnight. Watch the rest. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, notice it should have been there would be hearts, showing plural. But it shows a community heart. So the bride has one heart, and the other ones have one heart. Oh, yes. Professing themselves to be wise or sophists, they showed they were fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What have we got today? Man is God. Over in Africa, four-footed, creeping, who knows, who cares? Now watch. Idolatry started in the Garden of Eden. Yes, it did. Adam concurred. Why, he said, my wife is the mother of all living. She's the source. That's great as Diana the Ephesians. In her womb is the seed. Male's just along there for fun. But she's the seed bearer. She's got it. That's alive in hell. You know the Jewish people right today count their mothers instead of their fathers? Where did they get it? Not from the Bible. Rudy Sorella. Why, he said, his dad's an Italian. He says he's a Jew because his mother's a Jewess. Hogwash! He's an Italian. Forget it. But you can't tell him. He's crazy like the rest. I wish they were crazy. They get some relief from God. Wherefore, the world gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their hearts, and watch, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Here it is. When the Bible says sin entered and death by sin, this is it. This is it. S-E-X. Sex. Shock you, I'm sorry for you. Grew up. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable. No limit. Why, sure, you exercise, eat right, that'll help you. Ain't going to do the trick, though. Ain't going to get you out of the grave. Can get you to the grave. That's good. We all go there. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, loving vile, filthy things. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What's he talking about? Oh, you say this must be the lesbians then came ahead of the homos. I beg to differ. The natural use of woman was for childbearing. Now she becomes a whore. Messing with anybody. His brother Branham said a dog or a cow can do it so many times or often per year because for the babies, but a woman can do it any time. And a man was taken, was made for the act, and so therefore the woman better watch out. But that's a terrible thing for the prophet to say. Oh my, he must never say that. Why? Because it's the truth. And lies never love the truth. And let every man's word be a lie but mine, says the Most Holy High God. So the women. Now they got him on the pill. Oh, that makes it easier for a man. A woman can be a man's playground now. Now they find the pill is bringing on such terrible things as yeast infection, everything else, breaking the immune system down. And Brother Branham said a woman, it doesn't seem to be correct, but he pegged that it is correct. From Hollywood on down, oh, they don't want to be disfigured by carrying a baby, stretch marks and everything else, and hemorrhoids and varicose veins. Oh, no, so they'll drop the little dog or something else to take the place of the baby. Now notice, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of women, women turn themselves into prostitutes. What happens now with the man? Men with men working that which is unseemly. Now watch. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. He's talking about the body. So therefore, sexual encounters. That was wrong to begin with. We saw that. Brother Branham said he should have had the seed which was Christ. Sexual encounters are the source of what we have today in venereal disease and AIDS, and don't blame it on anything else. Because that's what the world wants to do, is blame it on something else. Hey, listen, says the homo and the lesbian, don't you tell us we're all right. I'm going to tell you, this did not bring on AIDS. We are victims. Yes, we're victims, and we're going to bring you down. I don't care. We're going to bring you down to our level. You're all going to be homos just like us. Why do you think God said to kill the homosexuals in the land? You think maybe the God has changed? There's one God of the old and one God of the new. I got news for you. You're warped in your thinking. It's the same one God, Jehovah the old, is the Jesus of the new. And this was written by his prophet and apostle. Now, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them order to reprobate mind, to do the things which are not convenient, not right. So, from this pattern, watch what happens. All right, now, we don't have many young people left around. I might have preached them all God knows where they're going. But here we're right back to young people again. If you don't listen, here's what's going to happen to you. It starts with sex. It started with your grandfathers. Kids, right now, let's understand. It started with your grandfathers. I don't know what your fathers are doing. I don't believe for 1 minute we've got fathers in here would do such a terrible thing. But notice what happens. Filled with all unrighteousness. Completely devoid of any true approach to God whatsoever. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, divorce, 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 who cares, implacable, unmerciful. That's what you're looking at today. Now you tell me, you got the guts to stand up and tell me, anybody here, or the sound of my voice on a tape, that this is not our condition right today with AIDS in the forefront? I got news for you. This is 100% 1993. And you can do what you want about it. And I'm going to tell you flat, you can trace it right back to your grandparents. You can trace it back to the time, especially in the Second World War, that came after the time of depression, when people were shacking up instead of getting married because they didn't have enough faith in themselves and an almighty God in their land that they could get married legally and have children and survive. America is no longer a survivor. Let me repeat, America is no longer a survivor. Where do you people stand this morning? Have you survived? There are those who thought they could bring me down. I'm a survivor, and I will survive. Yeah. You young guys haven't even tested your armor. Watch your mouths. Watch your mouths. Because until you take your armor off, you're We're not through the warfare. I will survive. If I have to, I'll pay the debts of the church off. I will survive. And if some people don't smarten up, they won't survive. I'm telling you, I'm not going to preach this to somebody else. You're here, you want to be here. You came because you wanted to come. You wanted to hear. You're hearing. Are you a survivor? I'll tell you who survives. Who is on the Lord's side? It's not, oh, God's on my side. God's on my side. I don't know if God's on my side. I want to be on His side. Yeah. I want His bank account and His grace. I don't even want what He gives me. I want Him and be on His side. Because what He gives you, brother and sister, is, as Brother Branham said, temporary. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is temporary. Temporary. Right? Huh? Church, right. Prophet said so. Not what Leviel says. So I want to show you, these guys are not smart at all. Your doctors aren't smart. Your lawyers, your politicians couldn't make an honest decision and a right one if they tried. When you can't even get your so-called smart guys that are scientific to even put a sign on the highway that works, and President Clinton has not got enough on the ball that when there is a gross case of misjustice, he does not go to the Attorney General and say, "Nail it! I ought to show the American people the little guy. I'm for them." No, he gets up and talks, great big talk, raises your taxes and wipes out. Everybody says, "Oh, great, 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 great." I will have no faith in Glenn or in Metzenbaum or anybody until those men come down to the level of this state of Ohio, in Dayton, and even this little town here called St. Paris, and they call to justice the miscreant, and they make the victim truly victimized, and then help him instead of the scum that attacked him as some kind of a hero that gets off in the court every day. This nation's finished. Now the point is, are you survivors? That's the question. Say, "Brother Bale, you're boasting. By the grace of God, I've got to be." Say, "I can't help it. There's no place to turn. I've got to survive. I've got to survive. If not for myself, for somebody else." I'll read it again. Last Sunday's message, number 14, we looked into the meaning of how Eve was a hybrid. And we're also called the same. This took us into what we hope is a correct understanding of sin entering and death by sin, which ends in the terribly destructive ravages of AIDS and social diseases. We believe we described why this is so. Get the tape and you'll understand. Now we approach page 24, wherein number 13b, that's the time before, number 14, we spake at length that Christ was the seed that Eve should have borne. We showed you that by Scripture. He fulfilled everything in the Bible. She, however, was not at all like Mary, who said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Indeed, she literally said to the beast, "Be it unto me according to your word," which denies God's word. She hybridized all of God's sons and even changed Adam. Because she makes a print upon it. So, I just don't believe that could happen. Prove it. Prove it. Stand up against the word of God. Give me one sign. I plead with all of these people who come against me. Give me one sign. Just give me one sign, any kind of a sign. She hybridized all of God's sons and even changed Adam. The Bible says so. She made an imprint on him. See? But since light, real light, can only come by the original spoken word of God, It was left to Jesus to be that one, written spoken word of God, to bring word life, and in his death, the water of life gushed forth to water the seed of God and bring them forth. Without the baptism, you're not bride seed. He proved back there 2,000 years ago that he was that seed. And now 2,000 years later, he proves he is risen from the dead, and the same works of the Father are manifest amongst us, proving that God is here to bring forth life again through a virgin womb. Now, in the last two paragraphs on page 24, Brother Branham, speaking about Christ, said, he is that seed produced by the Word. Jesus was literally the Word produced or manifested 2,000 years ago, as Brother Branham said. But he says today, now Jesus is the manifested Word. He and the Word are one and the same. So we're going to read the last paragraph, and we'll see that Brother Branham will also speak of the manifested Word in this hour as he talks of the Gentile sheep taken, no doubt, from chapters 4 and 12 of Matthew. Okay, let me find it. Now, he is that seed. He is that seed that was produced by the Word of God. Be it unto me according to thy word was said by the Virgin Mary. Now notice she was a virgin. There's the seed, see, taking the word. What do we have? A virgin of the word taking the word. What's it going to be? A manifestation. A production according to the purpose of that word. And God's word can never return void, but will accomplish the purpose whereunto it was sent forth. And when the angel stood by Mary, it was an angel, Gabriel, and he gave her that word. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And it came to pass, absolutely manifested. Could not be denied, he was that word. As John the Baptist was that tiny word, that tiny light of Isaiah 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Jesus himself fulfilled that one in Isaiah 9, six and nine, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, and so on. Now, Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and the Word are one and the same. Why not? What's the difference? You say lampshade. What's a lampshade? No difference. They're one and the same. So he's one and the same. That's the reason God manifested himself so perfectly in Jesus, because he was the seed word, the germ life itself, the germ that's inside the seed. That's the life in the seed. So when he says you're a germ of God, what's he telling? He's telling you're the life that was in God, the very thing that was to come forth to manifest. And now you're being manifested. You get it? See, he was the germ word of God. That's the very living life. The germ is the spirit, and spirit's life. The germ, now watch, the germ is the water. And Jesus had to be broken open there in order that the seed, for that seed to let forth its water, to water other seed that were coming. Do you see it? Okay, we got to go to John 7, 37, 39. I memorized this years ago, and guess I forgot it, so I'll read out of the Bible here. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he is that water of life, to water the seed. In other words, to bring them into the manifestation that they were predestinated for, but short-circuited by Eve disbelieving and trying to bring forth life another way, which she succeeded. But you see the chaos it brought. Now, do you see, even as he said, now watch, other sheep I have that's not of this fold, I have. They're going to see that. They're going to get that word and stay right with it. and I'm sending forth the Spirit to water it, and it will produce just exactly. It will produce miracles. It will produce the power of God. It will not deny anything because it's a kindred seed with the seed. It can't say, Mr. Cocklebur, that's not a seed now. You come live with me. No, 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 sir. No, no. It won't do it. No, indeedy. It just won't mix. You can't mix life and death. Live, die, live, die, live, die, live, die, live. Oh, somebody hates that. I can't say it up here because that person gets offended. Sink, swim, sink, swim, sink, swim, sink, swim. Oh, must I say that? Oh, no, you can't say that. Somebody's going to get offended. Can you people sitting here figure it? Now, you say you believe the prophet. Well, how much do you believe? What do you believe? I want to know. Has this set you up merely so that you will know the real thing if it comes? The next thing, honey child, is counterfeit. And it's already here. It's a ministry of Satan called the Son of Perdition ministry. It's the Judas. The spirit that's in our midst now, the bride is waiting to be reincarnated. And so is that same spirit of hell that was in Judas and did everything the true disciples did and even more so. Is waiting for its incarnation in the man of sin. Perhaps Cardinal Wall out of Boston. I don't know. Where do you sit this morning? I'm not trying to tantalize and hurt you. I just want to know, hey, I got to answer to God. If you don't answer to God for me, some people try it. Please don't try to answer for God for me, my wife, or anybody else. Forget it. Forget it. You don't have a part of my ministry. Not one of you. If you pray and you believe, whatever God's given me, you'll get. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll get more good out of it than I will. How much good does a pipe get out of the water flowing through it? Not much. What about the ground? It gets watered. I got scripture for that. Don't worry. Brother Branham was a scripture. He couldn't use his gift for himself. I can't pull something out of a hat for me. It's impossible. Can't pull it for you either. But you can pull all you want. You'll get what God has for you if I'm some kind of a conduit. If I'm not, well then. Yeah. Look at. You can't mix life and death. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. Oh, if this is not the real thing, I'm getting in shape to recognize the real thing. You're saying right now, I'm dead and I'm alive at the same time. Right? Come on! Let's understand this, where we're going. Shilly-shally, wishy-washy. Forget it. Forget it. I don't hold people in contempt. I hold the junk that they believe in contempt. We shouldn't even dignify it with an answer. But just in case there be someone whose soul is not steadfast and secure and you got itching ears, you want to listen. Hey, I'm not going to tickle you, kid. Just get that out of your mind right now. 8 people made the ark. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, to understand that Brother Branham is not saying certain things that people would like him to say, and they try to make him say, try to tell you, well, that's not Brother Branham's spirit. How do you ever judge the Word by the Spirit? You judge the Spirit by the Word. That's still over your heads, isn't it? Come on, let's be honest. Is this still over your heads? You still can't figure what I'm saying? Honest to God, do you understand what I'm saying? You judge every spirit by the Word. You don't judge any word by the Spirit. Or you'll be hip, hurrah, hallelujah, amen, Jesus. Get you all excited, hallelujah, and you'll all be healed under excitement. You don't believe me, do you?
I got news for you. I can take you to Pentecostal meeting. All out the late. What's his name? That bird with the look like Spike Jones? Allen. He goes to Washington State. And there's a bunch of Pentecostals sitting there, and I'm sorry to say other people too that that are emotional. And he gets to singing. Gets him bumping. Now you're getting it, sister. Hey, man, now you're getting it, brother. And pretty soon, whoom, they're all just spiraling. And it swings right into faith. And you can be healed. As a Trinitarian worshiping literally the devil. As Brother Branham said, Methodist, Baptist, witchcraft. You don't believe me, do you? Because you weren't there. See, my word's not good enough. But it is, because it's white throne. I'm not lying to you. I can take you to books on psychology and prove it. There's case after case of fabulous healings just under the pressure of fear. It's documented a woman in a wheelchair in England, paralyzed. Her little baby, I guess would cause the paralysis and all, was by a canal. When he fell in, she screamed and leaped out of the chair. Yeah. We're reading, weren't we? Not yet. 7:3. Let's read from verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We've defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I've said before that you are in our hearts to die and live with you. That's not the same what Brother Branham's saying. This fellow here is telling you, look, I know that you're seen. And I know you're being hindered and harmed. And I'm not going to let you go. Neither life nor death is going to take you from me. In other words, I won't acquiesce to your foolishness. And I won't die because of it. It's a different story here entirely. Such as holding your body under, see, pinning it down. That's one thing. And holding your body up so you're under your body. Now, if you were fussing at yourself because you got a lot of carnality and you're fighting the flesh, take a picture from wrestling. The man that has somebody on the mat fussing with him, would you consider he's in as good a shape as the guy that's got him held up like this? Oh, big difference. I'd sooner be the wrestler that's got the man in the air like this, because he ain't got nowhere to go but down when I slam his back over the post. And if he busts his back, that's his tough luck, because he's paid to get in the ring with me. What are you doing with, what are we doing with our bodies this morning? Are we trying to wrestle them on the mat? Or are you just lift them up with the strength of God and say, okay, bodies, you're coming under. I got you. There's a big difference in these words and how you place them. So, you can't be dead and alive at the same time. Can't mix life and death. So see what I mean? It's the germ, which means the life that produces itself. It is a germ that came from the seed. He is the Word of God made perfectly manifest. That's the reason that in him was one. That was the thing that he is correctly. The son from the first Adam was the son that was promised through Adam, continued on the human race, and Eve hybridized it through the serpent and brought forth a generation of bastard children born to death without life. And Christ came and was that seed. He proved it. Everything that Adam lost, Jesus was. See?
He is the correct one. Eve would have eventually brought that child forth, but she hybridized it, brought the serpent in, listening for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Then you notice they tried to get to the tree of life too late. Now, some of these things, Brother Branham says, are obscure. We just take them the way he said them. And he said the truth because he was under inspiration by the Holy Ghost, explaining what God gave him to write down. And he's leading up to it to show you it's epitomized or encapsulated in what God gave him to write down. Then he even talks more about it later on. So he's saying right here, this is what the Garden of Eden was all about. And what happened? They blew it. So now God's got to take the circuitous path. You know, there's where the word circuitry again. Got to take that convoluted area ahead of life, the interruption, and bring it down to where there's redemption, and then bring it up to where redemption is completely manifested, and the whole thing has run its course. The lake of fire has obliterated everything, and you stand there with everything of God, going on with him to the marvelous things that God has in him that you and I are heir to because we are children. See, everything that Adam lost, Jesus was. See? He's the correct one. He would have finally brought that child forth, but she hybridized it, brought the serpent in, listening for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now, we therefore put aside all understanding and knowledge that we think we have, and our minds are, like Paul said, completely free, and a womb that's barren of everything but the seed of God. Now wait till we get into the bride with that. That's the reason I believe what I believe. It's got to come back to this word. That's the reason I say if somebody wants to discuss with me, talk to me about this word, come. That's right, I've offered that any time. If you think that the name of Jesus Christ is not the right way to baptize, come talk to me about it. If you don't believe there's such a thing as serpent seed, you come and see me. Let's just take the word. If you don't believe that women should have long hair, that's their covering, come talk to me with the word. If you don't believe that the end time is at hand and those things that I'm talking about are here, come talk to me about it. Come with me, brother, see. Just come on, right. So the upshot is here, we've got to get back to where there's nothing but spoken word. And everything depends entirely upon it, and there's nothing but it. Nothing but it. Never mind your flesh, never mind anything. Get right back to the spoken word, and we know that has to be vindicated, which Brother Branham keeps bringing up. You can't be seed and disagree with the word, because the word is the seed. In other words, how can you disagree with what you're a part of? See, you can't do it. And if you are the Word, how can you disagree with it? You would be disagreeing with yourself. You'd be defeating your own purpose. Like somebody said, why do you ever go with people like that? Well, if I didn't do it, I'd be defeating the very purpose I was sent here for. There's got to be light. Your Brother Brandon was talking about why he has to be on the field and going with people that they'd say, well, I don't know why you go with them. I think the full gossip businessman is what he had in mind more than anybody, because he mentions them. Now, as we go down, we're going to bring those things and show you just how they set themselves in order just exactly perfectly with the word. Jesus being what he was is why God could work through him. And what did he say when he was here on earth? I do nothing until the Father has shown me. Perfectly right. Now, Brother Branham is talking about visions. He tells you that Jesus Christ had visions before he could act. And Brother Branham tells you the same thing. And he had to be 100% sure of the vision in order to tell you exactly right. The same as if you told a dream, he'd have to see it first in order to know you told it right. And time after time, he'd tell people you left something out you didn't say right. All right. And anything he did always was vindicated by the Scriptures. He said, search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify me. And if I don't do the things that they said they did, then I'm not the original seed. But if I do the things, then why don't you believe me? That's right. If you can't even believe me the way I stand, then believe the word that I say. Believe the works that I do. He's saying right what Jesus said. If you can't understand my stand, if you can't agree with it, and look at what I'm doing, that should tell you something. Now he says here, if you can't believe me the way I stand, then believe the word that I say, believe the works that I do. So if you can't take my stand on the word, go to the works and you'll see I'm vindicated. Because my seed can only bear forth what I am. In other words, Jesus could only be what he is, and he's telling us we can only be what we are, and there's nothing else that you can do about it. Now, according to page 25, which I brought to your attention, Brother Branham is mentioning the fact of the sheep that he has of that other fold, which, of course, would be the Gentile fold, which, of course, has to do with you and me. So we're going to look at some things here, and we'll just quickly take a peek at them. And we find here that Revelation 10, 10 and 1, the mighty messenger that came down, clothed with the cloud, a rainbow upon his head, face that were the sun, and feet as pillars of fire, is none other than over here in 2 Thessalonians, which is the first chapter, verse 7, and you that are troubled with us, rest with us, you that are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers, Revelation 10 and 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, that's the prophet that's on earth, when God appears to bring all the mysteries of the seven seals and thunders, is the same one over here, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1, and I beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, the first part, the Lord descend with it from heaven with a shout, is the very same thing that he tells you over here in Ephesians 1, 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, may know what the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, and inherit in the saints, and so on. And all of these come to Matthew, the 12th chapter, where it tells you what comes to the Gentiles. Because that's what Brother Branham is talking about, the Gentile fold at the end time. He's not talking about Paul's time. He said, other sheep I have that I've got to attend to and talk to. Jesus never went to the Gentiles. He forbade it. It was Paul that went to the Gentiles. So now he himself has to go to the Gentiles. Now the point is, what good would it be for him to go in his flesh? No good. No good at all. The flesh isn't even mentioned here. Tells you right here, he charged them, should not make himself known. 12 and 16, it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither any voice hear his voice in the streets. The bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax not quench, till he send forth judgment to the victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Brother Branham said he's obligated to do in the form of the Holy Spirit, but he did hear what he did in the flesh. He cannot appear to the Gentiles in flesh. No way. They're caught up in the air to meet him. So what is this all about? This is about this very same ministry that comes here upon earth, even as Brother Branham taught us. Now all of that is a portion of what I read on page 25. See? Now, notice in Matthew 25, in there we talk about the end time, the coming end time events. There's 10 virgins at the end time, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And the bridegroom tarries, all slumber sleep, but at midnight, a cry is made, behold the bridegroom. Doesn't say the bridegroom come, but it says, behold him. Now come out. Come on out. So you can meet him. They all rise. They all get up. And at that time, of course, the foolish are excluded and the wise go in. Now that's identical. And we're doing this rapidly. Over here to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. When it tells you, verse 25, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing that should be holy without blemish. That wasn't in the first age. They were messed up in the first age. They had wrinkles and blemishes. But as Brother Branham said, there's got to be a bride at the end time to produce what he blew. See? And the virgin bride in Paul's day blew. Put it to one side. Messed it up. See? Now notice, this brings us then to John 10, what Brother Branham is speaking about. This is a Good Shepherd chapter. And in John 10, and in verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now it tells you that. The one fold and one shepherd has to do with the Old Testament bride and the New Testament bride, which positively has the little dipper, the little fold, which is the Jewish fold, and the rest are Gentiles. They all come together. And you notice they hear my voice. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. If any man hear my voice, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. And it's not said to be the actual voice of God himself. It's the prophet. See, the whole thing comes together. See? So this makes the focal point, what we're looking at. Now, in John 23, 10:23-30, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then the Jews came round about and said, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He didn't have to tell them nothing. He showed them. Hey, if I take a $10 bill and show it to you, do I have to tell you it's a $10 bill? When I say, Brother Bill, it's not that simple. You missed your scripture. He said, oh, hypocrites, if you can tell the sign of the skies out there, it's physical. What's the matter when you can't tell the spiritual? So if you look at a $10 bill, I don't have to tell you it's a $10 bill. Or, brother, are you messed up? You got a problem. And Jesus said, I've told you before and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Okay. Notice especially here, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, John 11, 25 and 26, and Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now what I'm putting together is this. Let's go also to verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not die? And the question comes in your mind today. If this Son of Man, the Son of Man ministry is here right now, and he's already raised the dead. Thus saith the Lord, has been on the scene for many years under Brother Branham's ministry. The vindication that God is here and the word is correct. Then we're looking at this. Cannot the voice that was vindicated to be the voice of God through the Son of Man ministry, cannot that same person bring about the resurrection? You follow what I'm teaching from? Verse 37. After these mighty works, can we deny the resurrection? Can we deny we're a part of it? Are we sitting around trying to bamboozle each other, mess everybody up? All right, so that's what you are looking at here. Now, let's look at it again. He that believeth in me shall never die. This is at the time of Lazarus' resurrection. Now remember, this is an absolute resurrection. Now listen to me. Brother Branham was told that he would see the resurrection of an animal. I don't think it said fish. I think it said animal or some type of a creature. The little fish that had its entrails pulled out and was dead and flopping and decaying in the sun after hours, when Brother Branham said, "I give you your life," immediately swam off. And we have witnesses living right today that saw it. So what we're looking at here is Brother Branham telling you, this is the hour when the two folds come together, which are the two parts of the first resurrection. Now, it's time for the Gentiles. And in the light of this, what manner of people we ought to be. Not afraid and not ashamed to say, live, die, sink, or swim. I'm going to play it cool, Brother Dale. You see, if this is getting me ready for the real thing. What do you mean? What do you mean? You leave me puzzled. Because this is the real thing. And Jesus does all three things in descending. Voice, shout, trumpet. Amen. All things the Father showed me. Jesus being what he was is why God could work through him, and what did he say when he was here on earth? I do nothing until the Father showed me. That's the vision. Brother Branham had it too. Why did Jesus have a vision? He was a prophet. He's a prophet. Anything that he did always was vindicated by the Scripture. He said, "Search the Scripture, for they are they that testify me. And if I don't do the things that they said they did, that I'm supposed to do, see, then I'm not that original seed. But if I do the things, then why don't you believe me?" Now, you see, he's going right back. You see where he blew it. They blew it because they didn't say, "Your word, your word." They got from behind it. What's going to happen to this bride on earth if she gets from behind the word? Denies one word. Now remember, denying one word is to literally change it. Because I can use a double negative and not change anything. Now Brother Branham admitted to that on a tape. I didn't put the tape down, but he admitted to it. The changing of the word. But he said, if I don't do the things that Scripture said to me, then I'm not that seed. But if I do the things, then why don't you believe me? That's right. If you can't even believe me the way I stand, then believe the word that I say. Believe the works that I do. Because my seed can only bear forth what I am. Now, if I was saying this, I would have written it down and said it different. I would have made my words coincide exactly with Jesus. If you can't understand what my works are telling you, you're never going to hear the word. I can guarantee you that. If you can't place who is doing this, you'll never understand why he is doing it. Huh? Okay. Let's go back again. All the way to Ephesians. Ephesians is my favorite ever since I found Brother Branham quoted this in Daniel 70th week. And he said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of his calling, what the riches and glories and inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness and power to us who believe, according to the working power, mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. It tells you right there that resurrection power returns to the earth the same time the messenger does with the message. So he's telling you that God is vindicating this prophet, proving it is the Spirit of God, and it's time for the resurrection. What more do people want? Oh, well, I just can't believe Brother Branham going there and taking that out of Matthew and him having the nerve to say over here, "Other sheep I have that are not of this fold," and he's talking about this hour. Bless God, the Gentiles, they've been done getting a fold all along the time for 2,000 years, so William Branham is crackpot. Well, how about that? A vindicated prophet crackpot? A man with thus saith the Lord crackpot? A man that God backs up, backs his sermons up? At the end of the sermon, comes on the scene in a pillar of fire, reads everybody's heart, proves it's God? Well, Brother Bill, you know, I knew a lady and she was a posteritist. Yep, yep, yep. But she could tell me things too. Yep, yep, she did. Yep. Mortimer Schnurd, spiritually speaking. I may hate myself for saying that. In the meantime, I'm enjoying it. Today, the seed, brother, whose body was broken that the life may come forth, that same one is here today in the form of the Holy Spirit. The cocklebur can only be a cocklebur. You can hybridize it with anything else, but it's still a cocklebur. That's right. It will accept it. But the rebut. Now, that's the reason that a dual is a hypocrite. Now, there's my understanding of the two-soul doctrine right there. Where does it come from? You say, the Bible never talks of a man with two souls. I beg your pardon, it does. It's over here in James 5, James chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's a double-souled man. What would be a double-souled man? Well, very easy. You get the ass, and you get the mare. And you hybridize through crossbreeding, and you got a mule. And he's got the nature of his mama, he got the nature of his papa. And one is a horse, and one is an ass. And he can work the living daylights out of anything. But like Brother Branham said, if you build a fire and you just move far enough to burn the cart down, and until the day he dies, he's just waiting to get his kick in at you. Two natures. How can you be two-natured to believe two different words? It shows you are a hypocrite. A hypocrite. Yeah. Well, Brother Vail, I'm waiting for the, you know. You know my trouble if I've got any? I'm so thoroughly disgusted with myself for not getting everything perfect with this that I ain't got time to look yonder. And if I can't get right with this, and there's a greater thing coming, how am I going to get in? As the prophet said, if you don't know your ABCs, how am I going to teach you algebra? Yeah, I'm a little bit confused with this tremendous, tremendous spiritual insight. Yes. I'm very, very... So, the reason... That's the reason a dual is a hypocrite. That's a hybrid. Man that claims to be a man of God and deny the word, he's a hypocrite. Mule that claims to be a horse, he's not a horse. He said, I'm a donkey and neither one. You're a hypocrite, bastard born, just exactly. That's flat. But that's what it is. He didn't aim to do that. Man did that with his wisdom. That's where he gets. That's where all man's wisdom winds up. Bastard born. Hypocrite. Two natures. Couple of souls. Crossbred. Well, animals don't have souls. I agree. At least they sure don't have inner souls. Don't have germs. It's all created. Where did Cain get his? Who cares two bits what he's got? See! Unhybridized. I'm not interested in your soul and your spirit. You're this and you're that. Argue and fuss around and fool around all you like. I'm interested in see! Now the point is, am I seed or am I not seed? Now, if you're seed, you'll home into the Word.
And when you get party like me at times, and I said to Brother Branham, hey, that's too much. Something says, hold it. When was he ever wrong? He said, oh, my, that's a good one. Never. Okay, what's next, Brother Branham? I survived that blast from the trumpet. And I've been surviving a lot of them, Brother, Sister, because I'm just like you. I look at things and I say, oi, 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 oi. And I say, hey, hold it. Everything's okay. Stabilizers are fixed. Just go right on. Go right on. Quit beating your gums and just go right on down the road. Be a Christian. Try to be. Yep. Man's wisdom made him a bastard. Now that's why Jesus was so perfectly manifested, because God so perfectly manifested himself in Jesus to be that seed. In other words, God did not leave him, and he's not going to leave us either. He was that Word of God. He was God's Word. So are we. I'm quoting myself now, Brother Branham. Now, you've got to read in between. That's the reason he couldn't produce anything but just exactly God. And if God's in you, what more can you do? Well, I think, Brother Vale, that if God's in me, I could create universes. Is that a fact? Did your father show you? Huh? Or didn't he? Now, if he didn't show you that you could do it, what are you talking about? Huh? Did God call you to a ministry? I got a book just now from Africa. His name is Emil Fritter or something. No, that's something like this guy, Winters, Jonathan Winters, Maud Fricker. It's about the same thing. He said, on one of your tapes, I knew you couldn't answer a question. You just said, well, we haven't got the answer right now. So I'm going to tell you. And he has this book all written out. I thumbed through 4 pages and I saw right away what he does like everybody else does. He doesn't take every quote, he takes what he wants. And about the 6th page, he said, Brother Branham taught there were 7 seals inside and 7 on the outside. But Brother Branham corrected it. He said, I made a mistake. There are not 7 seals on the inside and 7 on the outside. Because Brother Branham had taken his pen and he showed us how it worked. This is a scroll, he said. And so you roll the scroll like this. Oh, yes, like this. And he said, you put a seal on it. And then he said, you take the next scroll and you roll it on top and you put a seal. And he said, see, there are 7 seals on the outside and 7 on the inside. But in my heart, he knew he had to be wrong unless he came up with a real good revelation. Because the Bible said written on the outside and on the inside, 1 scroll with 2 sides and 7 on the outside. And he came back and he said, I made a mistake. I taught you wrong. There are only 7 seals. Who remembers that? Nobody but me? How many? Joe, you remember? Oh, good, good. I see some hands here. Good. So I just threw the book in the garbage. No, I didn't throw it in the garbage yet because I wrote something on the cover. When I get what's on the cover in a safe place, I'll throw it in the garbage. And I'll write and tell them. No. See, there's always somebody trying to teach somebody. See? You know, the only authenticated book in the world now, William Branham, Prophet of God, is 20th Century Prophet. I wrote it. And he went over it word by word with me. Church Age book, the same thing. And I haven't changed the doctrine one little bit. I'm not about to change it. The only trouble is people can't see what's being taught. Why, they didn't understand the white throne back in Brother Branham's day when he was living. They said, that can't be. But it was. So what are you going to do? A couple of souls. Ay. Yeah. And if God's in you, what more can you do? We're going to stop right there because that's a good place to stop. It stops right there and it tells us right there positively that this prophet could only do what God let him do because it was God in him. And now he's telling us the same thing. We've got God in us. Can we therefore respond to anything but the Word? Now listen, it doesn't tell you to produce the Word. It says believe the Word. When I preached young David Hobolsky's funeral, I did not know exactly what to say till God inspired my mind. And the inspiration was, listen, nobody ever lived the Word except Jesus, but we can believe it. And that opens the door to the same eternality with the Lamb on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne. What have you got to lose by believing the Word that's vindicated? What have you got to lose by standing for and say what the prophet said, live, die, sink, or swim? Oh no, carried away by emotions. When anybody comes to me and talks about condoning sin, so you're sweet and nice and kind, and you say, because you come against it, you don't have the spirit of William Branham. I got news for you. William Branham did not condone sin. Let me tell you this, but Billy Paul told me. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again in close. Just before William Branham died, he was in Georgia. Somebody put into his trunk, unknown to him, a couple of pounds of pecans with shells on them. Now, the minute that you cross into Arizona, almost immediately say, do you have any fruit or nuts or vegetables or plants in your car? And Brother Branham said, no, we don't have a thing. They didn't examine it. He went on home. 200 miles down the road, he takes the stuff out of his car and he said, oh, my, my. They've done it again. People putting things in my trunk just to give little gifts to be sweet and kind. They don't tell me. I lied to that man. Now, all he had to do is burn those things. Right? That's all they did at the border. Or they crack them and eat them. I suppose they crack them and eat them. Why should they throw away a few good pecans? He goes back 200 miles, sees the guy, and said, sir, I'm sorry, I lied to you. There were some pecans in my trunk. And he explained it, and he gave the pecans. Why did he do that? I want to ask you a question. Why did he do it? Standing with the Word. Amen. I got news for you. You might as well take it right on the chins. And you will, if you've got any seed in you. If you stand with this Word, you're going to be lied about. You're going to be hated. You're going to be criticized for your stand. Because if you're like that boy that's riding the bicycle on that thin board, you'll get your eye, as Brother Branham said, down where the gate is, and you just look at it, and you won't fall off anywhere on your bike. Yeah. Brother Branham said the churches are lodges, sob sister societies. When the world decided at the time of Billy Sunday that they ought to have red light districts for the prostitutes so that men could go there and leave the fine women alone, Billy Sunday said, then why not have a separate street for the thieves? And the murderers, another street. In other words, there are societies. Do we belong this morning to the society of the Word of Almighty God? Which society is called a bride, a virgin bride of the Word? Or are you going to vacillate? And when you do, are you going to do it to hide what you're doing? Huh? That went plumb over your heads. Someday, God will reveal to you what I've just told you. And I hope it's not too late. I hope it's not too late. And I say once again, I've spilled my guts all my life. I'm available. Because I'm not going to lie to anybody. I've done my share, crudding around. But it's got to the place now, brother, sister, where the gloves are off and it's all over because we ain't going anywhere except to death or to life. And that takes in the foolish virgin. I say again this morning, where is your stand in the light of what Brother Branham is preaching? What I'm doing my best to teach, are you standing with the word? If you do, you don't have a problem, because that word is going to come forth through you, because his word cannot return void. Won't return void. Let's rise and be dismayed. Kind Heavenly Father, we look to you again for your goodness and mercy which you've bestowed upon us so many times. His goodness and mercy, Lord, which we desire as we separate here and go our way, Lord, to come back again on Wednesday and to fellowship, Lord God, according to truth as best we understand the truth. And we know, Lord, we're without excuse as far as understanding. My. After all these years of looking in the word of the prophet and going back and forth to the word, we know that what he says is true. And every other word is a lie, Lord. If my comments upon it take away from it, oh God, then I'm just standing up here lying. But Father, I've got faith, as Brother Branham said, the word will correct the error. And if we're wrong in saying one thing today, even as the prophet was wrong concerning seven seals on the inside and outside, you're the same God we're looking to, because you are that one that we believe was so intimately connected with that prophet. Even he said the pillar of fire standing up inside him. Then God, what are we going to do? We're going to believe also this word is going to come forth in us because we take our stand with it. What else can we say? Well, I wouldn't know where to turn. There's just the bottom is pulled out. There's nothing but a bottomless pit. When will we stop falling? Where would it end? I want to stand with your word, Lord. Stand with you. Come over to your side. And where we're wrong, Lord, correct us. And if we've made a boast that isn't in you, Lord, help us to rinse our mouths up with the soap of Almighty God. Literally cut our tongues out, as it were. Choke our throats off. But to stand with the word, Lord, I want to, Father. My biggest trouble right now, Lord, is taking what Brother Branham said, that if we're worried, we'll manifest it. Because I look at things, Lord, that I figure in myself belong somewhere down the pit instead of near the glory gates. But if this, Lord, we know is a place of purging, this side, then, Father, I'm in hope that you'll purge all the dross out, no matter what it costs, to get rid of it all. Be finally thrown on you, Lord, and it's no longer live or die, it's live. Live in the midst of death. Pure from these things, having been cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. A bride that has made herself ready, but only one way. That's receiving your word and said, here am I, Lord. Be it unto me according to your truth. Heal the sick amongst us, Father, because we know people need healing. More so they need in the souls and the mind than the body. Because the bodies will soon be gone. And the food that we get from energy will be gone, or energy from will be gone. The houses we live in will be gone. The money we spend will be gone. All these things will be gone. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Fill us with thy word, O God, we pray. That we may be living epistles read and known of all men, and read the way you want it, Lord. Not the way men want it or we want it, but the way you want it. Grace and mercy, Lord, hid in our hearts, come forth in the true blossom watered by the Spirit. Bride all pure, within and without, and no wrinkles and no spots. Washed, not just in the blood of the Lamb, but the light of the Word, Lord. These things we pray for every single one here, Lord, because we do want to be like you, Father. We do want to shed this image of the world and be in the image of the Word, O God. And we can't be previous. We've got to wait for it. But, Lord, in the meantime, we take Brother Branham's word. What about us? It must be the same. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.